from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates hospital maternal and child health facilities. Vice President Maruf Amin calls for research and innovation development in Indonesia to be optimized. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Mother and Child Health Service building of Hasan Sadikin Hospital in Bandung, West Java on Thursday. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo said that couples who want to undergo IVF do not need to go abroad. According to President Joko Widodo, the facilities at the Hasan Sadikin Hospital Bandung are currently not inferior to other countries.
Jadi yang ingin bayi tabung,
those who want IVF, whose children are sick, we don't need to take them to Singapore. We don't need to take them to Malaysia. It's enough at Hasan Sadikin. The spirit must be like that. The spirit must be the spirit of competition with other countries.
Semangatnya harus seperti itu. Semangatnya harus semangat kompetisi dengan negara lain.
President Joko Widodo also said that the new building is equipped with 490 beds and various modern medical facilities for mother and child services with a budget of 383 billion rupiah. He admitted that he did not mind the size of the budget as long as the results were of high quality. The president hopes that with complete facilities, the Hospital Bandung can become an example of a modern digital hospital followed by good quality and management standards. Vice President Maruf Amin asked that educational facilities in Indonesia have to be optimized in supporting the development of research and innovation. This was conveyed in his remarks during the inauguration of the Indonesian Television Academy Institute MTech Digital Media, ATVI IMDE campus building in Jakarta on Thursday, quoted by Antara. He also asked to optimize the building as a center for research, development and innovation, especially in the media and broadcasting industry. According to Vice President Maruf Amin, the development of science and research in broadcasting and journalism needs to be encouraged so that knowledge continues to develop, not only concentrated on applied science. The Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment and the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce Industry (Kadin) are ready to hold the International Sustainability Forum (ISF) for the second time. The forum will be held at the Jakarta Convention Center from 5th to 6th September 2024 with more than 8,000 participants from around 50 countries. Deputy for Coordination of Infrastructure and Transportation, Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment Rahmat Kaimuddin said that he was very impressed with the enthusiasm of ISF 2024 registrant, which will make this event the second largest climate action event in the Asia-Pacific region after COP29 in Baku, Azerbaijan.
Dari sisi peserta ya akan menjadi
In terms of participants, it will be the second largest sustainability or climate-related event after COP29 in Azerbaijan. So today we already have more than 8,000 registrants who will attend this event.
Hari ini kita punya registran sudah lebih dari 8,000 orang yang akan menghadiri acara ini.
Rahmat added the International Sustainability Forum 2024 is also in line with the vision of Indonesia Emas 2045 to strengthen Indonesia's leadership on the world stage by formulating solutions to strategic issues, including a sustainable green economy. Chairman of OISKA, Organization for Industrial, Spiritual and Cultural Advancement Indonesia, Khaidir Abdurrahman, received an award from the Japanese Embassy in Indonesia. The award was presented by the Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia, Masaki Yasushi, to Khaidir Abdurrahman in Jakarta on Thursday. The award, for his support of activities at the grassroots level in Indonesia over the years through agricultural activities, rural development and human resource development. To the media at the Japanese Embassy office in Indonesia, Khaidir Abdurrahman said that OISKA Indonesia has several activities mainly in the agricultural and livestock sectors, as well as environmental maintenance and economic improvement of the community.
Our main activity is the learning of out-of-school youth, meaning that there is agriculture and livestock. But on the other hand, we also have the Children Forest Program, CFP. There are also mangrove reforestation activities. There is also reforestation of barren lands. It is spread throughout Indonesia, but specifically more on the island of Java.
Organization for Industrial, Spiritual and Cultural Advancement, OISKA, is an international non-profit organization based in Japan and has many branches spread across various countries, especially in the Asia-Pacific region and Latin America. OISKA aims to increase the spirit and culture of work in the world community, especially in developing countries. The Indonesian government is targeting a total of $3.5 billion, or around 57 trillion rupiah, in the second Indonesia-Africa Forum IAF to be held in Bali from Sunday to Tuesday. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Pahala Nugraha Mansuri in a conversation with Pro 3 RRI Thursday said, the second IAF will focus on four sectors, namely energy, food, health and mining. He ensured that of the 57 trillion rupiah, agreements worth $2.7 US, or the equivalent of 40 trillion, were ready to be signed. He added there were still many opportunities to be able to develop the cooperation. The second Indonesia-Africa Forum IAF raised the theme Bandung Spirit for Africa Agenda 2063 to strengthen relations between Indonesia and African countries. Indonesia will hold an Impact Investment Day IID in Labuan Bajo East Nusa Tenggara from September 7 to 8, 2024. The event is a collaboration of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce Industry Kadin in collaboration with the Bamboo Environmental Lestari Foundation. Reported by RRI.co.id, head of Kadin Indonesia's Popular Economy Empowerment Agency and IID Steering Board, Bambang Brojonegoro in Jakarta on Thursday said that the event will discuss leading change and creating long-term value for businesses, society and the planet where humanity lives. This time, IID carries the theme Championing Sustainable and Restorative Initiative in Indonesia. The event is part of the Indonesia International Sustainability Forum, ISF 2024. The goal is to invite the business world to look beyond the compliance aspect, but the application of sustainable environmental, social, and governance principles. Let's move on to the international news, where the South Korean government will gradually raise pensions premiums for the younger and middle-aged generation to solve the problem of pension funds whose value continues to decline. Reported by Yonhap, the pension fund crisis is due to the increasing number of elderly people in South Korea and the declining birth rate. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, in a television speech on Thursday, said the government should regulate the guarantee of national pension payment in law to assure the younger generation that they will receive pensions. Previously, the government-run National Pension Service said their funds were expected to run out in 2055 after experiencing a deficit for the first time in 2041. President Yoon promised to restore public confidence in the National Pension Fund with sustainable reforms that last a long time. The Japan Meteorological Agency JMA said that Typhoon Sansan has reached Kagoshima Prefecture, southwestern Japan. As quoted by AFP from Xinhua, the typhoon which is categorized as very strong, was moving at speed of up to 252 kilometers per hour when it hit Kyushu Island on Thursday morning. It is the strongest storm this year and one of the strongest on land since 1960. The agency has issued a special warning for very strong winds, high waves and storm surge across Kagoshima Prefecture. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on international community condemns plan to build synagogue in Al-Aqsa complex. Condemnation has come from various corners of the world following the plan of Israeli National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir to build a synagogue inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex in East Jerusalem. Ben-Gvir on Monday said that Jews have the right to pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and intends to build a synagogue inside the holy site of Muslims Al-Aqsa. The statement sparked international condemnation because it was feared that it would trigger a greater religious conflict. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in an official statement on the X account emphasized that Indonesia strongly condemns the statement by the Israeli Minister of National Security regarding the plan to build a synagogue inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. Indonesia emphasized that the status of the Al-Aqsa complex must be respected according to international agreements. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said the Israeli regime was carrying out an evil plan regarding Al-Aqsa. Kanani also emphasized that currently Muslims and people who want freedom around the world are of one voice in supporting Palestine and the Al-Aqsa Mosque from Israel's devious plans. Meanwhile, the Kingdom of Jordan urged the United Nations Security Council to act immediately so that Israel stops violating the status of holy places in East Jerusalem, including the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Jordanian Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi said that Israel's plan to change the status of Al-Aqsa was motivated by the ideology of hatred, and urged the international community to act immediately. Criticism also came from countries with Muslim minorities. Norwegian Foreign Minister Espen Barth Eide last Wednesday condemned Itamar Ben-Gvir's statement. He emphasized that Norway strongly opposes Ben-Gvir's statement to build a synagogue on the Haram al-Sharif or Temple Mount. In addition, United Nations spokesman Stefan Dujarric also said that Ben-Gvir's statement was very counterproductive and risked worsening the already very tense situation. Al-Aqsa Mosque is internationally acclaimed as the third holiest site in Islam and serves as a symbol of Palestinian identity. The plan to build a synagogue in the Al-Aqsa compound will clearly worsen the situation related to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Hopefully, all parties can remain restrained because counterproductive statements such as those made by Itamar Ben-Gvir will only create new problems. This will slow down the peace process and prolong the suffering of the Palestinian people, especially those living in Gaza. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with August 30, 1999, when referendum in East Timor's accord. In 1976, the territory of East Timor became the 27th province of Indonesia after being colonized by the Portuguese in the early 16th century. After the second president of Indonesia, Suharto, resigned in 1998, there was increasing pressures from the people of East Timor to demand independence from Indonesia. The United Nations, UN, then made a resolution encouraging Indonesia to hold a referendum as mandated by the UN after consulting with Portugal. Finally, on August 30, 1999, the people of East Timor held a referendum under UN control to determine whether East Timor would remain with Indonesia as a special autonomous region or become independent. The result was that 78.5% of the population of East Timor voted for independence. Let's move on to August 30, 2011, when International Day Against Enforced Disappearance established. Since 2011, August 30th has been designated as the International Day Against Enforced Disappearance by the United Nations. This commemoration was created as a reminder to the world community that the crime of enforced disappearance has occurred in various countries. In addition, this commemoration aims to draw the attention of the world community to continue to question the fate of people who have been forcibly disappeared. According to the UN Office website in Indonesia, hundreds of thousands of people have disappeared during conflicts or oppressions in at least 85 countries around the world. I'll end today in history with August 30, 2022, when Mikhail Gorbachev died. Mikhail Gorbachev was a Russian politician who became the eighth and last head of state of the Soviet Union. He served from 1985 to 1991, during which time he served as Secretary General of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union and President of the Soviet Union. He is known for his policies of glasnost or openness, which open up freedom of the press, and perestroika or restructuring, which decentralized economic policy. He is also known for his role in ending the Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States, for which he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Gorbachev passed away on August 30, 2022 in Moscow, Russia, at the age of 91 due to illness.
still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Trade agreement diplomacy must be finished before the government transition to the elect President Prabowo Subianto in October 2024. That was stated by the Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan when opening the Trade Corner Special Dialogue in Jakarta on Thursday. Zulkifli Hasan explained that currently, Indonesia's trade balance kept experiencing a surplus for 51 consecutive months. That must continue being strengthened by solving trade obstacles through diplomatic agreements. According to the Trade Minister, to achieve a 7-8% economic growth target, foreign diplomacy is necessary. Currently, the Indonesian government is completing the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IEUCEPA, which is expected to be completed by September. Besides, Minister Zulkifli also said that the government has a new expansion strategy outside the US and Europe. The non-traditional markets are Central Asia, South Asia, East Asia, and Latin America. Zulkifli Hasan further remarked that another strategy to boost economic growth is by controlling imports and reinforcing domestic production. He said the import control is to keep the micro, small, medium businesses survive. According to Zulkifli, imported goods must fulfill the Indonesian national standards, licensing from the Food and Drugs Monitoring Agency, and halal certificate.
Bersama tara menghilang.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Malang City in East Java Province, Indonesia, is located in the highlands, so the air temperature is quite cold. To avoid the cold temperature in Malang, local people usually enjoy a warm drink called angsle or wedang angsle. Served with warm pandan, vanilla, coconut milk base, angsle is topped with betulo, mung beans, white sticky rice, pearls, pieces of bread, and slices of kolang-kaling sugar palm fruit. Betulo is a traditional snack made of tapioca flour and rice flour, giving it a soft texture. What makes this traditional drink attractive is the exclusion of ginger as one of the ingredients in angsle, because it is thought to change the flavor. In fact, the use of ginger in various traditional drinks is well known. However, since the name often refers to wedang, the beverage is generally made from water boiled with ginger, lemongrass, and Javanese sugar. Some people still use a little ginger. The important thing is that the sweetness of the coconut milk and the fragrance of pandan remain dominant. Wedang angsle tastes sweet with a distinctive aroma of pandan leaves. It is usually served hot to avoid the cold air of Malang. Although originating from Malang, angsle is also widely found in Surabaya, Lumajang, and various regions in Java. It is usually sold in the afternoon in carts or tent stalls. The price is relatively cheap, around 10,000 rupiah or less than $1 per serving.
Segalanya telah ku berikan. juga semua kekuranganku. Jika memang ini yang terbaik untuk diriku dan dirinya, kan ku terima semua demi
still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany.
Reducing stunting is a national priority. According to UNICEF, stunting happens when a baby is nutrient deficient in the first 2 years of their lives. The mother lacks of nutrition during pregnancy and bad sanitation. To help the government in reducing stunting, 5 students of Gajah Mada University made a snack bar from moringa leaves. The moringa-based snack bar is also mixed with nuts, such as edamame and peanuts. The idea of making a snack bar from moringa leaves came from students' community service activities in Wonodri village, Semarang, Central Java. In this village, moringa leaves are abundant, but are less able to be processed by the local community. The Gajah Mada University students' team then presented an innovation in making a snack bar from moringa so that the community can maximize the potential of the resources they have to solve the problem of stunting. Especially for pregnant women, moringa leaves can prevent stunting in babies because they are rich in important nutrients such as vitamin A, C, calcium, protein, and iron. The student team made processed foods in the form of brownies and dry snack bars. The ingredients needed include wheat flour, honey as a sweetener, moringa leaves, peanuts, and edamame as an additional source of nutrition and to provide a crunchy texture to the food. Peanuts and edamame contain folic acid and iron, which support fetal strengthening so that it can prevent stunting in babies born.
Yang kau takutkan takkan terjadi.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I will play you a song coming from Maluku entitled Ayo Mama. Sung in allegro tempo, the song is about the conversation between a mother and her grown-up girl. It is told that the girl persuades her mother not to get angry when she is approached by a young man who gets close to her. The upbeat and cheerful tunes makes Ayo Mama not only familiar to Moluccans, but also popular among Indonesians. Well, listener, here is Ayo Mama by Dere Dia.
Ayo Mama, Mama jangan marah beta. Dia cuma cium beta. Ayo Mama, Mama jangan marah beta. Lah orang muda punya biasa. Ayam hitam, telurnya putih, mencari makan di pinggir kali. Sinyo hitam, giginya putih, kalau tertawa manis sekali. Ay mama, mama jangan marah beta. Dia cuma cium beta. Ay mama, mama jangan marah beta. Lah orang muda punya biasa. Sudah tak berarti.
izinkan aku merasa.
di dalam hatimu. Saat sedih kau cari aku, saat tertawa kau lupakanku. Aku harus apa agar kau menghargaiku? Setiap hariku hanya untukmu, namun tak pernah ku penting bagimu. Mungkinkah ini waktu untuk pergi? Setidaknya ku telah berusaha. Aku pernah berjuang untuk dapatkan hatimu, meski tak pernah.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.